All right, that's the fifth distinctive emphasis, and the sixth and last one, of course, is the importance of friendship, especially spiritual friendship. No Sangha without friendship. Friendship is the bedrock of the Sangha, spiritual friendship. And I'm sure this is a very well-ventilated subject on all sorts of occasions. Yeah? We all know what the Buddha said, yeah, about friendship, spiritual friendship being not a half but the whole of the spiritual life. So I'm not going to try to cover this particular ground in a way that I've covered the other five distinctive features of the FWBO. Instead, I'm going to speak about, yes, my third topic, my friendship with Dorje Rinpoche. Yep. And here we begin to approach the end of the talk. I did mention that at the very beginning that when I was asked to speak about, to make my friendship with Dorje Rinpoche the subject of all talk, I wasn't sure that I had enough material for a whole talk. So, I mean, that might have surprised you, but yes, it's a fact. But what is the reason for that? Well, the reason was that, in a sense, my friendship with Dorje Rinpoche was extended over, practically the whole of my time in Kalimpong, which was 14 years, was not a very eventful friendship. Not a very eventful friendship. A friendship, after all, is not a love affair. Not like a love affair. Well, not usually, but some friendships are, perhaps, but that hasn't been really my experience. A friendship doesn't have the ups and downs, and the dramatic turns and reversals that a love affair has. It's a comparatively sober affair. So there's no very dramatic history to relate. It just continues usually on its own steady course. So I think this is why I felt that I didn't really have much to say about my friendship with Dorje Rinpoche. There were no dramatic developments. We didn't have any quarrels. We never quarrelled. So there was never any reconciliation. our friendship was, I was going to say, on the same steady level. But no, it did very gradually sort of ascend. But there weren't any dramatic leaps or bounds or anything of that sort. But digging around in my memory, yes, there are some things which I could say about my friendship with Dorje Rinpoche. The first thing that occurred to me when I really started reflecting was that we were two very different people. We were very different in our background. Well, think of my background. I was born in England, in London, in Tooting of all places. Yeah, usually in England, I mean, our friends from overseas may not appreciate this, but usually, or very often I find in England, when Tooting is mentioned, people usually laugh. It's a ridiculous sort of place, you know. It's not the sort of place one would choose to be born in, but that was where I grew up, Tooting. So yes, I grew up in a very ordinary family, was in bed for a couple of years, had very little education. I worked in a coal merchant's office, for a month. I was a minor civil servant for 2 years. Then I was in the army for 3 years. And then I had a wandering life in India and became a monk and moved to Kalimpong. Well, that was my background, yeah? So what was Dorje Rinpoche's background? Well, to begin with, he was an incarnate lama. He was a bodhisattva. I was nowhere near being a bodhisattva. I found it difficult even to be an arahant. And not only was he, an incarnate bodhisattva, he had a very elaborate Buddhist education in one of the top, Gelugpa universities in Lhasa, and he passed through the whole course with flying colours and became the Dalai Lama's cultural and religious representative, in India. Yeah, and was very, very highly regarded. I was, at that time, just an ordinary, Theravada bhikkhu, to all appearances. So we were very different in background. Yeah? And, well, I think I'm not sure how different we were in character and temperament. Yeah, I think by nature, I must admit, I think Rinpoche had a kinder nature than I did. Huh? I think I've had to work a bit on my compassion, but Rinpoche seemed to find it come quite naturally to him. But then, of course, he was a bodhisattva. So what would one expect? Huh? Bodhisattvas are naturally compassionate, yeah? But I think we were similar in certain respects. We were both not exactly reserved. Well, we weren't very touchy-feely, you know, put it that way. And it took us, you know, quite a while to become friends. And I remember the circumstances under which we first met. I mean, Rinpoche was the abbot of the Tibetan monastery down in Bodh Gaya, and there was a Mahabodhi society centre there, almost next door. And there'd been some friction between the two. And one of my friends in Calcutta, connected with the Mahabodhi Society, asked me to go and see Dalai Rinpoche, who was at that time in Kalimpong, and see if I could sort it out. And those were the circumstances under which I first met Dalai Rinpoche. I was at once struck by his straightforwardness and his honesty. And I realized at once that, well, there was, as regards the friction between the Gompa and the Mahabodhi Society Centre, it certainly wasn't Rinpoche's fault. I was quite convinced of that. Yeah. So that was our first contact, and subsequently he invited me for the opening of the Indo-Tibet Buddhist Cultural Institute and school, and I gave a few talks there. So in that way, gradually we got to know each other. And I think a lot of our... an important element in our friendship was the fact, I think, we each appreciated that the other really did try to cherish the doctrine. Hmm? Certainly Rinpoche cherished the doctrine, I knew that. And I cherished the doctrine, and I think he realized that, you know, from my general attitude and, you know, from some of the lectures which I gave under the auspices of his institute, lectures which were, you know, translated into Tibetan.